Random thought. How did everyone know to wear the red and black lumberjack pajamas for Christmas this year? You know, and I don't know, is there an email that went out? Is there some type of thing on Twitter that told everybody to do that? You know, I'm single, so maybe I don't get those messages, but how did everybody not do that? I'm looking on social media Christmas Day. Everybody and their mom, red and black lumberjack pajamas. Is it a Biggie thing?
We were all in the Ted Cruz family group chat. He's like, we'll do red and black lumberjack in Cancun because it's better than Cabo. Yo, you know, it's funny because you asked that question and I'm like, the answer's easy for me. It's what my wife picked out. After you brought this up, I asked her, hey, so what's the reasoning? What made you decide to pick this red and black plaid or lumberjack, as you call it? You might as well name it that. Trademark it. Let's get it. Red and black lumberjack. And her response was, they had everybody's size in stock. LOL.
but there hadn't been a reason that everyone bought this. I'm just curious. Like, how does this? It can't be a coincidence that majority of people that I'm connected with on social media all decided to wear the red and black lumberjack pajamas or outfits. Even still, I was just like, where did this come from? So I thought maybe, you know, now that you're married, you have this infinite wisdom and beams of light shoot out of your fingers because you have this level of love I've never experienced. Maybe you knew, but I guess you don't know either. Yeah, I just find that it's not weird. I just thought it was interesting how everybody was doing it. And so I thought there had to have been something. Maybe there was something on Pinterest or Instagram that went out that everybody was like, we're doing that. Babe, look at this. We're doing it. Put them on. Shut up. Put them on.
You know what?
Take the position. Look we're happy. Guys. Look happy. Say cheese.
We're two guys talking about this. We really need a woman to answer this question. And my wife is going to give me the nice answer. Oh, they had everybody's size. But it really could be something else. Like all the women are on the same group chat going, okay, here's what we're wearing this year. Next year, we're doing pink.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 68. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
You know, lots of comments were made on Coach Prime and his signing of Travis Hunter. And I love the fact that he decided to answer it, right? He was on with Rich Eisen. I know you've seen this. And if you haven't, then hey, check this out because it's really interesting, his take on it. And I love it.
This is something I don't understand. And I wasn't going to say this, Rich, but you're my guy. So I got to say it on your show. Okay. I think it was either a year before or a year before that is that your head coach, who I'm very fond of, who I think is a great coach, who I think is going to do tremendous feats for my alma mater, called me to help him recruit a kid out of Louisiana. And I FaceTimed the kid, I FaceTimed the mother, and I did my thing. Florida State has been using me for years to do what I do, to help influence these kids to come to the wonderful alma mater. No problem. I did it. I believe the kid signed. So what's the difference of me doing that and doing it for myself? Mm. So it was good enough for you, mm-hmm. but it's not good enough for me? Mm. That's what I have a problem with.
Me too. Me too, Coach. Me too. And I'm sure you've got to feel the same way because it's like the mentality is I can use you to recruit for our school, for our alma mater that you played for free that we know of. And... But why would you recruit somebody away from us?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was funny the way the question was posed in the beginning was about him stealing this kid
right.
from Florida State. And Dion was like, well, I don't think they owned him. I didn't do that. I didn't own him. But just kind of the mindset and the fact that mm-hmm. he was the number two in the nation. So had he just been mm-hmm. an average player, no one wouldn't have said anything, yeah. but Deion's 100% right that you've used his likeness to help recruit mm-hmm. students. Why is it that when he does it for his school, now that he's a coach, it'd be one thing if Deion wasn't a coach and he's trying to recruit a kid to go to Michigan, you know?
Exactly.
He's recruiting a kid to come Florida, to his team. So I'm like, why wouldn't he do that? What's the problem with that?
It makes no sense. You know what it is? It's the sore loser mentality. This is what, I'll tell you what this is. This is Blue Lives Matter. And I hate to bring it around to this, but this is exactly what it is. Because it was, nobody ever said that cops' lives didn't matter. We just said, hey, we need black lives to matter. And that's all we were saying. We didn't say everybody else didn't matter. He hasn't told people not to go to Florida State. He just said, hey, you need to come play for me. Which makes so much sense. The greatest cornerback to ever play the game says you, the greatest cornerback in your class, needs to come play for me. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he do it? And they haven't only been using Deion's likeness to recruit at Florida State. They've been using him. Having him talk to the parents. Having him talk to the athletes. Having him go to their places and talk to them. FaceTime them and do all the stuff. Why? Because you're supposed to do it for your alma mater. Mm-hmm. Well, he has. And he's been doing it. And like you said, for years. Now the one time he takes somebody that y'all thought you had in the bag, you mad?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And kudos for Coach Prime for how he made that happen. I'm really excited to see what Jackson State's program is going to look like. Like, could you imagine if Coach Prime is able to take a Jackson State into the college playoff? It would take a few years before that ever happened because they're going to look at strength of schedule. Yeah. But could you imagine that there is an HBCU in the conversation for the playoff hunt in NCAA football? Like, how crazy would that be? How exciting would that be? And the game changer, what that would do for athletic programs in HBCUs.
Well, then the are they the MEAC or the SWAC? They're the SWAC, right? Mm-hmm. Then the SWAC. So I think that's what we used to be called the Division II. So I don't see them. They're obviously not in the football championship series division. So therefore, that wouldn't happen. But just the eyes he's put on the program and on HBCUs as a whole. And it's the same kind of, here's the thing about this. We're not that far removed from this happening in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there was a top recruit in basketball who decided to go to an HBCU. And people are like, why? You know, question when they decide to go to Alabama, to Georgia, to any of these other big schools. Why are you questioning this one? You know what I mean? And I think I'm excited to see what he does, like you said. But what I was really excited about was his response to the loss in that game, because there was so many ways for people to turn that into a negative. Especially since he had Jeezy come speak to the team. He had all these celebrities come out and, you know, either FaceTime the team, come in and actually talk to the team in person, do all this stuff leading up to the game. And you have all these celebrities, and then you lay an egg against South Carolina State, who was 6-5. You were 11-1. South Carolina State was 6-5. And I think the players kind of got caught in the whole thing because everybody kept telling them the same thing. You're already champions. You're already winners. You still got to go out and play the game. And they went out there and got mollywopped after a great first half. So what happens now is his response. And his response was, hey, to all the fans, all the alumni and the fans, everybody who was watching, I apologize for our performance. We're going to review the tape, and we'll be ready to start again next year. And we're going to do this again, bigger, better. And that, I think, is the biggest lesson. And you don't see him sulking. You see him still having fun with his family, with his sons out there, even setting fire on his property accidentally. But it's interesting to see some of these things and his reaction to it, because I think that's the life lesson that these kids need to learn. It's not always going to go your way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he taught them a very valuable lesson there.
Well, true. But, I mean, what do you say you lost? You know, you can... I'm just saying, like, you know, what do they expect him to say? Yeah, we're going to review the tape. But if you look at the season that they've had, you can't judge him off of this game. You know, but, okay, yeah, we lost. We're going to look at tape. We'll be back next year. But if you look at what he's done in the time of his tenure at that program.
Yes.
It's phenomenal. And it's not only about football. It's the overall school and the pride and getting the alumni back, because not everybody contributes back to the HBCUs that they graduated from. Not everybody does. There's not a lot of hype around it, right? But let's say
besides Homecoming, yes,
yeah, right. Besides Homecoming is really about it. But all of a sudden, you start to see Fayetteville State start to blow up, or any of these schools that have football teams, and it'll be amazing, right? And that's why when I was saying earlier, like it'll take some years. I think what will happen for one of these HBCUs, it'll be very similar to what you and I talked about Hawaii. When Hawaii kept going undefeated and everybody's making big noise, they're going to be like, fine, you're going to play Alabama. Go. And that's what's going
to happen. Oh, you think you're good going undefeated for like 3-4 years, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, fine. Meet our semi-pro football team, Alabama.
Exactly. But I mean, I think that's what will happen is there'll be somebody that's going to push to make a bowl game of some kind happen with a program like a Jackson State against like an Ohio State or a Michigan, you know, even Nebraska, right? Even if it was Nebraska, it would be phenomenal for them to get to that point. And I'm calling it right now, they'll win.
You're right. I would love to see it, and I can't wait to see it. I'm happy for Coach Prime and what he's done. I'm proud of him, and I love the response he gave, and he gave it to Rich Eisen, who... And he wasn't disrespectful in the way he said it to him. He's like, even the way Rich Eisen asked the question, like you said, was kind of sideways. And he just smacked him into shape, had Rich just laughing because Rich had nothing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. Really proud of Coach Prime. But also in the love of sports, Kyrie Irving, back.
Yeah. And this is like the craziest thing, right? Because remember, well, he's not going to be able to play this season because, you know, he can't play in New York and he can't practice in New York. And we can't have him on the road with the team if he hasn't practiced, because he could play in other states, but he hasn't practiced. And all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving's coming back. And I didn't even think twice about it. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Then we got sent this tweet. Because it's based on a SportsCenter post, right? It said, with injuries, COVID cases, and an inordinate minute load on their superstar players, the Nets are bringing back Kyrie Irving as a part-time player for games outside of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the person, Osiris Eldridge, who actually tweeted this, goes, bringing back the unvaccinated player to play because the vaccinated players have COVID is the height of comedy.
Yeah. That is ridiculous. They just go to show money. All about money. Well, and in a sense.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's see if I could try to defend the Nets. They're paying Kyrie. So.
Yeah.
I need you to play. You're getting a check. I need you to actually do something. You know, because I don't think basketball players aren't like football players, right? Football players, that you miss a game, you don't get that check for that week's game, right? In some cases. Mm-hmm. But for Kyrie, he's paid. So get out there, shoot that ball. But now how do you like keep him separated from everybody else?
Hey, they didn't keep what's your guy's name? Aaron. Aaron Rodgers wasn't separated. I mean, but he was immunized.
Yeah, but people didn't know that he wasn't vaccinated. Right. So now if you're an NBA player and you have to play the Nets in, let's say you're the Rockets and you're playing the Nets in Houston, and you see Kyrie coming at you with his unvaccinated self breathing, do you still post him up? Do you guard him?
All you have to do is fake a cough.
Go ahead. Because like
the key just opens up.
Well, that's
as far as like the Red Sea.
That's the thing about this. You know, with COVID, I have peace of mind. Not saying that I can't ever get it, but I have peace of mind knowing that I'm vaccinated and boosted.
Right.
If I come across somebody who is 100%, I'm not vaccinated, I don't believe in it, part of me is just a little skeptical, because if I get it from this person, I'd be pissed. But so I wonder if you bring Kyrie into the locker room with all the players who are vaccinated, you know, and if he potentially gets them sick, then what?
That's a great point. I mean, because how do you justify it for real? Well, you know what they're going to – I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to do what they're doing in the workplace, right? Which tells me that they should just have done this from the very beginning. They're going to do it where, okay, so you've got to get tested every 2 days, every 3 days, once a week, whatever it is. He's going to have to constantly get tested. And so and that's what they're going to do. They're going to say once a week just so that they can CYA and cover their own asses and say that, well, he is not positive. So it wasn't from him, you know. And he'll be the one that's probably the surest of his status of anybody in the NBA because he'll be tested consistently and constantly.
Yeah, that's probably the only way they can do it. Like, test them daily, and then before the game, test them again. Because if he winds up testing positive after a game, you've now put the other team's players at risk.
But then you don't want to do those rapid tests, because the rapid tests are not as accurate as the other ones. So, you know. As one of the vaccinated, I have no idea what these other tests are.
Well, but with the money the NBA has, they're not going to get some cheap, you know, over-the-counter. Go to CBS. I need 10 kits.
Matter of fact, go to Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get some cheapy tests. They're going to have the real deal to know. So I think that's going to be the gamble that they're willing to take just to win games and save minutes. Like, why not bring people up from the D-League? And say, like we did, like Lakers did Isaiah Thomas, brought him in for a 10-day contract, which I thought was just ridiculous. But why not do that? Bring other players up from the D-League who are vaccinated and say, okay, I'm going to put you on a 10-day contract. I might get you 2 or 3 games till my players get healthier. Here's your shot.
Yep. It makes sense. It's like, and I think I've been keeping up. Again, you know, I don't watch NBA until it gets to the playoffs. But I heard the Golden State Warriors are doing pretty well. And one of the reasons why is because when everybody was hurt last year, what'd they do? They played all their rookies. They had no choice. Get your ass on this court. We're paying you. You play. We're going to lose a shitload of games, but you're going to gain some experience and understand how we play the game at this level, not at that baby level y'all are playing at college. All right, we got you. Let's go. And look at them now. They haven't even gotten Klay back. And when they get Klay back, who, by the way, just who knew people would get this amount of money to play basketball? The amount of money his contract is for, I think it's like $200 million. Even he can't believe it. He thinks it's ridiculous what he's getting paid. But when he comes back, Golden State's going to be a problem for everybody, and it's going to be exciting to see. Mm-hmm. I want to keep an eye on this Kyrie Irving thing, and I know you will, because this is just interesting to me that they're bringing him back. And this whole vaccinated, unvaccinated conversation is – this is why it never is going to go the way people want it to go. Mm-hmm. And funny thing about this, when you get to the vaccination story, right? I'm watching, I told you I saw the Joe Gaffigan on Netflix, but I also watched Mo Ammer. And he made this great thing about hookah and what hookah really is, because hookah comes out of the Middle East. And he goes, yeah, it's supposed to be tobacco. But now people have come with this battery. You're smoking this thing, and it gives way more smoke than I've ever seen come out of anything tobacco. And you're like, yeah, it's safe. How do you know? It's like vaping. How do you know? It's a liquid, and it turns into this vapor and this smoke. I said this when vaping came out. I'm not doing that. How am I going to trust it? And he said the same thing about the hookahs, but people don't want to trust the vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. I'm curious to see. I really wish they'd have just brought players up from the D-League. There are a lot of vaccinated players who would fight to get the shot to play in some games in the NBA. And I think that's the route that they should have went. But also understand, you're paying money. You have to, if you're a business owner, I got to use all my assets. So I get it. You know,
the vaccinated players in the D-League who made sure some of these active NBA players got COVID so that they'd have a chance to come up, and y'all just ruined their chances.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we shall see. So did you catch this week? Remember the case of Kim Potter? She was the officer that shot Dante Wright. So I was curious to see how this trial was going to go, because it's really interesting when you watch these trials. When she was on the stand testifying, the outfit that they had her in, she looked like a kindergarten teacher. It was just this nice yellow cardigan, this nice yellow pretty dress.
I didn't realize it was the same person.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just made her look just like a sweet kindergarten teacher. And I was like, that's so interesting. I mean, it makes sense, right? If you're the defense And you're not going to have your client come in with, you know, saggy jeans and a tank top. You know, you're going to have them put on a suit, even though they've never worn a suit before. They're going to put on a suit, whatever. So I get it. But it was so interesting to see how she was dressed, that she looked very sweet and innocent. And so afterwards, the jurors, I think they took like 3 or 4 days, but the jurors even asked the judge, hey, what if we can't come to a conclusion? What if we can't come up? Which I was like, oh, goodness, don't tell me they're going to have a hung jury. But she was convicted. And she'll be sentenced next year, but she was taken directly to prison.
Which is, you know, the right before her conviction came down, and I guess this is while the jury is deliberating, the video comes out that at least it pops up in my feed, in my social media feed, of when she was telling everybody, all the different cops, you go to your car, turn your cameras off, and go to your car and wait for instructions after she shot him. And it's like, because get the story straight, right? And you heard about this before. This is not the first time you're hearing about cops saying, and usually it's the supervisor who gets on the scene and the frazzled cop who's like, who had just shot somebody's like, get your story straight. You know, when they come and talk to you, you got to have it straight. You always hear about these stories. To see it on camera with her going, no, you do this, you do this, you do this, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off, and then go to your car. And she was, the thing that people were pointing out, she was very stone-faced, knew exactly what she was doing, very sure. Unlike the woman that was crying on the stairs. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It gave me an apple and it had a worm in it.
Well, I remember they were showing that video of her like falling to her knees and, you know, feeling remorse, I guess, if that's what that was. but, you know, this whole story and many of these other stories, it makes me think, is it possible that a cop accidentally can shoot somebody and they die? It was a total accident. How can we tell? And you know what I mean? It's like, how do you, because it's very possible that it could be. And you have the shooting that happened in Lincoln, L.A., where the woman got shot. There's a woman that was in a Burlington coat factory. I think she was hitting, got into an altercation with another woman, hit her with a bike lock. And so 911 calls come, cops come in, and they're trying to confront the woman. Cops shoots 3 times and hits her in the chest, and she dies right there on the scene. One of the bullets actually went into the through the wall of a dressing room and killed a young girl who was trying on a dress for her quinceañera.
Right.
And total accident. But I just feel like there's no way. It's like there's no way to really look at these to say, accident or not, you're going to jail.
So here's the thing. You know how you know it's not an accident, and you know how you know you're wrong? When Pat Robertson gets on his platform and has a taser and a gun and goes, this is a taser, this is a gun. And he holds both of them and goes, there's no way you can mistake this for this. Pat Robertson, who has never, ever done anything for the benefit of black people, says that this woman is dead wrong from the get-go and says there's absolutely no way that she could have honestly mistaken her gun for a taser, tells me that, one, he's either about to die or he knows it's bullshit.
Maybe he's trying to make things right with the Lord.
Something. Because when he did that, I was like, what? And it didn't hit me when that video first popped up about her telling those other cops to turn their cameras off that this was the same woman. And then I saw something that was said about the taser and the gun. I'm like, wait a minute. This is who he was talking about. Mm. This is the video he was talking about. He knew it was bullshit. And when Pat Robinson isn't on your side and tell you you did it wrong, you know you're going to jail.
There's just been a lot of cops going to jail lately. And so it's been interesting. And hopefully that it changes the behavior, right? That cops will start to realize that they're not above the law. Not that all of them think that. I don't think all cops are bad. but there are some bad ones, and they're starting to get more exposed more and more. So it's just interesting to watch, but I'm happy for the Wright family. This still is not, to me, it's not justice, because to me, justice would be their son coming back. You know, but that's not going to happen. But at least it's a little bit of closure for them.
It definitely is. And, you know, I think there was a movement for them to have the cops either losing their pension or losing certain benefits in these cases, so that they're actually, because you have some cops who they'll just move on to another force, another department, and be fine. And we do need the cops to, if you can't go out telling people in the neighborhoods that they've got to snitch on the people they have to live next to, when you won't snitch on the people you work next to.
Yep.
I'm sorry, because there's a big difference there. And it shouldn't be. It's a double standard, and you can't expect people. And I'm the first person to tell you, if you're about to commit a crime, you're about to rob a bank, and you're about to pick me up, and I'm asking for a ride, and you put me in a car with you, and you drive to the bank, you go rob it, I'm telling them where you are, where you might be, and where you could be. Okay, because I'm not going to jail for you, because you should be a good enough friend to be like, hey, you don't want this ride today. So I'm not of the mindset of no snitching, because I'm not involved in that crime. Right now, if you're involved in the crime, go down and take your medicine. But the same thing with these cops. If you're not involved in this and you're trying, these other people are making you look bad. It's the reason why we tell people pull their goddamn pants up. They're making us look bad.
Yeah, if you see something, say something, does not just apply to airports. So I think that if you're an officer and you see something, say something, because you're right. And I think that's going to be the other wave, is when you start to see the cover up and you get caught that you were part of the cover up. Well, you're going down as well. So who knows? It's just crazy. But I know now not to commit a crime with you. I get it. Or
yes,
don't have you in the car. Don't even tell you I'm going to do it, because, you know, you're going to snitch.
Goddamn right. I got a little girl to look after.
Snitches. Get stitches.
Hey, but you know what? You get no jail time, goddamn it.
All right. So I'm a little nervous to say this, but
uh-oh,
you may have been right about something.
No, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Well, it's not that you are right. I'm just saying you may be right about something you've been saying repeatedly. It's possible that Ted Cruz could be presidential candidate in 2024. It's quite possible. So here's the deal. It's like,
I didn't want to be right about that, damn it.
So whenever you have a campaign, and you have the Democrats trying to get their front runner and the Republicans trying to get theirs, normally the runner up is almost always the next nominee.
Right.
So you had the time McCain was a runner up. Romney's been a runner up. Ted Cruz was a runner up over the last election against Trump.
Damn it.
And so he's well positioned for 2024 bid. And when asked if he was going to launch another bid for the White House, his response, absolutely, in a heartbeat. So we know that he has his eyes on Pennsylvania Avenue. So who knows? Because he was the front runner or the runner up, maybe this is his chance.
Texas, this is also your chance. Only you can stop forest fires. It's really easy. Do not reelect this man to the Senate. Because if you show him, it's like when Beto O'Rourke lost his senatorial run, right? I don't think he has a chance at governor. I didn't think he had a chance at presidential nominee, because you didn't win the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not saying it's not possible, but the likelihood goes down about so much.
Yeah.
Right. So therefore, Texas, you can stop this. It's up to you. And I know, Terrell, you are doing your part.
Trying. And if he were to lose the Senate race, mm-hmm, odds on him being the president would be very slim.
Exactly.
If he wins the Senate race, As soon as he wins the Senate race, he's going to start his campaign for the presidential bid in 2024. So, Texas, we got to come together. We got to look at our governor. Greg Abbott. Let's look at him. I don't know if Beto is the right person or not. Texans, we got to come together. And we're only ever going to be able to turn this stuff around if we go vote. And in 2022, we show up big because we definitely need it.
Texas is up to you. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's still going to be Senator Ted Cruz. And then, as you say, he's going to kick it off his presidential run as soon as he wins. I think he kicks it off now in the midst of his campaign to be senator, because in the midst of it, he's going to attack Biden. That's going to be his way to get it. Mm-hmm. Right. And once he starts, it's just a continuation after that. Now it becomes even more so. So unfortunately, Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. And all those key talking points that Ted Cruz has been spitting out and regurgitating and riling up the base with, he's going to keep doing it. He's going to turn it up even more. January 2nd, January 3rd, from there on, it's going to be a whole nother level. And he'll be Senator Ted Cruz again. Mm-hmm. And presidential frontrunner for the Republican Party, unless his daddy, Donald Trump, decides to run again.
We shall see. But I have faith. I have faith in my fellow Texans.
I had faith in game shows until I saw this clip from Wheel of Fortune. And I've never been a big Wheel of Fortune fan. So maybe I don't know the rules as well as I think I do. And if you haven't seen it, check this out.
You have 10 seconds to try to talk it out. Good luck.
Choosing the right card. No. Choosing the right. Word.
This one's tough because you said all the right words, including the word word. But as you know, it's got to be more or less continuous. We'll allow for a little pause, but not 4 or 5 seconds. I'm sorry, did a good job in getting it, but we can't give you the prize. And it was the Audi. Oh. Oh, man.
Who's the jackass that wouldn't give her that prize?
That's a shame. And I don't know all the rules, but I think that was ridiculous. I used to be a wheel watcher, back in the day, but I think that's kind of shitty that they did that.
So, because she did it within time, before the buzzer hit, mm-hmm. She said choosing the right card, which was incorrect, then choosing the right word. And they say that pause was way too big. It's got to be continuous. Again, I've never read the rules, and maybe the rules do say that. Mm-hmm. But it seems mighty petty when you're not even paying for the goddamn prize.
Right.
And it's not like she went, using the right card, bird, heard, word. I could understand if she did that, because then you're just going down 7, 8, 9, 10.
Word, that's bird, not what she turd, did. Heard, curd, gird.
Oh my God! So I don't know, man. I think it was mighty petty of them,
yep,
to not do this, give her that prize, and that's why people are so outraged about it.
Yeah, I'd be upset, but I love how this story has a happy ending. Mm-hmm. So she was supposed to get an Audi Q5. As I believe it's what the Q3. Q3. And so since she didn't get it, the lovely people at Audi said, you know what? Here's your car. We're giving it to you anyway. And they gave her the Q3, which impressed me because I am trying to decide between an Audi Q5 and a BMW X3. And this story alone nudges me closer to the Audi. So Audi people, if you're listening, because of this great story you guys did, I'm going to go test drive an Audi Q5. And that's going to be potentially my purchase. Audi Q5 sports pack back if you want to buy one for me, because I mentioned it on the show. I'm going to go test drive an Audi Q5 sports pack. We'll love one with the sunroof, maybe a dark gray, maybe a charcoal color. Two-tone interior.
You're not on Wheel of Fortune, buddy. This is this.
But I'm giving Audi a shout out.
big ups to Audi for what they did in this case. And your words are exactly why they did that. Because you had a choice, Audi or BMW, right? Mm-hmm. Audi does this. They give away this car that's probably worth $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. And they're going to sell about 100 of them just based on that. And that's the lowest number I could come up with. Because it could be a couple thousand they'll sell.
Yeah.
Sell because of it. Because people like you are going, well, you know, I was thinking, you know what? That was a great thing they did. BMW didn't do that. Let me get an Audi. Or it could just be something that you just go, you know what? That was nice. Let me go do this.
Yeah.
Somebody who was like, I may switch my Audi to something else, may decide to buy another Audi because of this.
Yeah.
Not because they think they're going to get it free like you obviously think you're going to by saying all these nice things about them. But
just saying, if they're giving away cars, you know, closed mouth don't get fed. That's all I'm saying.
All they can say is no.
Yeah. I mean, what's they saying? I'm still going to go test drive one and they're going to get my money. But, you know, didn't hurt to throw it out there.
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
Yeah. If I had to record the show from inside the Audi every week just to get the free Audi, I would do it.
Oh, man. Hey, don't forget we drop the regular audio episodes every Monday. On Tuesdays, we drop the video episodes. And coming back January 5th, it is Married at First Sight, Season 14, Boston.
Boston.
Hey, happy holidays. We'll see you guys in the new year. I'm Yanni Rood.
I'm Just Terrell.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRTPod.
Yes. Email us some of your random thoughts and some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.